From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is Innovation for Friday, August 15th, 2014. I'm Kara Hetland, and today we're broadcasting from the Technology Business Center in Sioux Falls. And in May, 8 entrepreneurs began the annual Accelerator Boot Camp, and they're winding down their training and getting ready to launch. And we'll learn about these businesses, including some medical applications and websites, some new steps for tree hunting and custom circuit boards. And we'll spend the next hour meeting all of these entrepreneurs, learning about their businesses and product ideas. We'll also hear from Pam Bohm about this year's boot camp training. That's all ahead this hour on Innovation. First, this news. Welcome to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting from the Technology Business Center in Sioux Falls, and it is time for our annual program, our sixth year in running. Pam, is that right?
That is correct. Running
and featuring some of the entrepreneurs at the Accelerator Boot Camp. So joining me to start off the program before we meet these entrepreneurs is Pam Bohm. She's the Entrepreneurship and Incubation Manager. That's a mouthful.
It certainly
is. I like it, though. Lots of vowels. Well, Pam, thanks for having us back. I really appreciate it. You're doing things a little differently this year.
Well, we always have to keep it fresh. Okay. This year, we have 8 companies participating in the program. It is the third year that it is the South Dakota Technology Business Center program, so we're pretty proud of that. These companies we've been working with since last spring. They started at the 3-day boot camp, followed up with 1 day a month, and they will finish up next month by pitching to equity and angel investors. So along the way, they get chances to pitch for smaller amounts of project-based aid, and the companies are hand-selected. It's a competitive application process to get involved in the program. So we have selected companies that we feel have the potential to grow, create jobs, and do good things for South Dakota and themselves. So I'm anxious to share this with all of your listeners.
And find out what these new businesses are.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what you're here to learn.
Right. Exactly. So talk a little bit, how has it evolved over the last 6 years? Are you seeing different kinds of companies, different kinds of new business startups?
Well, initially the program was the National Network of Entrepreneur and Technology Commercialization, and we brought in outside experts, and then I coordinated, and with the help of the Enterprise Institute, coordinated the local subject matter experts. When their funding ran out, we decided to take over the program, so it's now our program, and it is South Dakota people providing help to South Dakota entrepreneurs, so that makes it very homegrown. The process continues to evolve and hopefully improve. The types of companies varies dramatically from year to year, and every year I always think I have a stronger group, and I think that's true because there's more and more information out there for entrepreneurs to build on now, and because they have so many resources, they come to us with more knowledge, so they challenge me to do bigger and better things to help them.
And are you seeing a difference, though, in the types of people that apply? Or is it relatively...
The applications still come from all over the state and from all kinds of industries. And I think we're seeing more industries realizing that they could benefit from this kind of programming. So maybe yes, maybe no, but the companies that you're going to meet today are all very exciting.
Okay, so before we move to our fast-paced lineup here, let's talk just a little bit about the requirements that you look for in selecting the businesses.
Okay, we're looking for entrepreneurs who are at a stage of pre-launch or very near their launch, so that a lot of it is timing. We're looking for individuals who are coachable and willing to listen to suggestions and ideas as to the best way to do it. It's always their own final decision, but we expose them to a lot of resources, so we want them to have an open mind in that exposure process. We're also looking for companies that have a high growth focus, have the ability to grow substantially in the long term. We know that's not going to happen in the first 6 months, but we also know that if they don't start with a good basis, their ability to grow is diminished in the long run.
Okay. All right, let's get started, and we'll start with Blake Hoffman. The name of your business is Odin Hunting Products, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, well, Blake, thanks for being here. Give me a quick rundown of what your business is.
So Odin Hunting Products really kind of came about and snowballed, starting with me and our two other founders, Tim and Zach. We were sitting around one night and found ourselves talking about the upcoming hunting season, and started to get into, I guess, a list of complaints we had about some of the stuff that we had been using in the previous years. So that turned into more of a conversation of sketching out some of our ideas of what would we do if we could do it. And in a pretty short fashion, we kind of realized, well, we all work in a manufacturing industry, and we've got a lot of this experience, and a lot of these things we were penciling out, we actually knew exactly what we could do to create those ideas and make them a reality. So what started out as more of a complaint session really kind of launched us into ideas on how we could actually move forward. So we started putting those things into some real form, getting models drawn up, and started quoting them out, and it just really kind of snowballed from there.
It kind of took off.
Yeah, big time.
And it started how long ago? Last hunting season?
Yeah, so we all sat down last October with our complaints, and we've gotten to our soft launch phase already, and we're selling product today. So.
Yeah, I heard you're already selling. So talk about what this product is. What is it?
So right now we're currently only with our what we'll call our first flagship product, and it's a tree stand access product. It's called a tree step. So they're the items that guys attach to trees to climb up to get into a tree stand to do their hunting. And the market was... or still is dominated by one version of that product, and it was the one we were complaining about. So we really just aimed to kind of fix the things that we complained about in that product, and that's what we created ours with.
And you're talking tree steps, so it's not just a step on the ground. It actually attaches to
tree? Yep, our mounting method, it screws into the tree. Our second product that'll be launching here within the next 2 months is a strap-on product. There's two versions that are required. Some states don't allow you to puncture the bark of a tree. That's one of the regulations. So those two products make up a huge majority of tree stand access, if you will.
Okay. Explain what the problem was with the other.
So the problem really was that the industry wanted very affordable products. So there wasn't a lot of versatility in the product lines because they were shooting for affordable. And what that led to is the only product out there today is a bent steel rod that screws into a tree. A little bit difficult to explain, but really all it is a round rod that's bent into a Z shape. It has a threaded point on one end, and you screw that into a tree. Well, naturally, a round rod doesn't have a lot of traction, so when you're climbing up a tree in cold, wet, sometimes icy conditions, it doesn't, or muddy boots for that matter, it's very easy to slip off of them, and that product is the number one cause of hunting related falls from tree stands or while climbing into tree stands. So that product is very dangerous. However, it is affordable. So we just set out to try and use the experience that we have in manufacturing industries to be able to build our product affordably and yet solve the safety issues and some of the versatility concerns that was with the product out there. And that's what led us to the design that we have today. And we've been successful in hitting our cost targets to be able to be very competitive with that main product line out there today.
Now, you said you've had manufacturing experience. Have you had running your own company experience?
No, I haven't personally. One of our partners has kind of dabbled in the startup world himself. So he's had a little bit of that experience that helped guide us along the way. But really, his What he brought to the table the most was his connections with Pam and and some of the folks around here that have been extremely helpful to help us prepare ourselves for this type of venture.
And have you quit your job and going full board? Or are you still working and doing this on the side?
Yeah, we all still have our day jobs. We're all still working in the manufacturing industry. And yeah, absolutely. It's our goal to one day be able to make that leap and jump into it full time. But it's still out in the future for now. So.
Okay, and are you thinking of other things to fix out there in the hunting world?
Yeah, we want to continue down the line with going from tree stand access to tree stands themselves. A lot of accessories that are used in the tree stands today. There's a pretty broad product line that we can continue to develop into, but tree stands will be the real big one.
And you're based out of where, Blake?
Brandon.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to thank you and wish you the best of luck, and we'll keep in contact.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And now we're going to shift over to a company called the Westin Group, and we have Trish Doherty and Trish Evan Van Horsen, right? Right? Did I say it right or no?
Trish Evan Van Horsen.
Okay. Okay. Welcome, yep. Thanks for being here. So tell me about the Westin Group.
Well, we're a professional services firm, and we serve as business advisors to small and medium-sized businesses in their human capital support systems, which can be anything from forms and compliance and policies and wage and salary issues all the way up to conflict resolution, executive recruitment, executive coaching, that sort of thing.
Okay. And how did you come up with this?
Having a human resource background, actually, and wanting to spend more time in the smaller businesses that don't have the HR support. You know, most businesses will have somebody on site that will do the signing up of new employees and processing paperwork, but it's really hard these days to stay up on all of the compliance issues, ADA, FMLA, workers' comp, how do they all mesh together, you know, how many employment laws are there. And so what companies do is call us when they need us. And what we're doing right now is launching into an online platform, because we find Trisha's our taskmaster, I call her, because she does a lot of the forms. But we found ourselves creating a lot of the same forms, same policies, same handbooks, and then customizing them for the employers. And so now what we're doing is we're building an online platform so they can go in and do it themselves, and then call us when they need to know what do I do with this? You know, how do I implement? How do I solve other problems that they might need?
So it's a smaller company hiring you to do the human resource
Correct.
Work, but everything's online and they'll have that
right
access.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. That's correct.
Okay. So how do you launch something like this?
Well, we're building a platform as we speak, with all the technology and different levels of service that companies might want. We actually have two niche groups that we work with. One is small rural hospitals and long-term care facilities, and the other side is manufacturing. So they both have similar needs, but a little bit different. So we're working closely with those type of clients in South Dakota and across the country, actually, and getting some of their input about what they would like to see and what they use most often, which usually are handbooks, job descriptions, and policies that they could easily do online.
And do it and create. So is there like a template
yes.
then that you could take and steal, or not steal, but utilize?
Yes.
Template.
We've created all of those. And then they have to be state specific as well, because every state has different laws.
Okay. And you're based out of where?
Here in Sioux Falls.
Here in Sioux Falls. Yep. And so how did you get involved?
I started about a year and a half ago. I did not have a whole lot of human resource background. I knew Trish Doherty through other resources. And so I was brought on with the company to assist Trish, and dove right into a lot of different organizations. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy working with other organizations.
Okay, so you're based in a facility in a room, and you know, obviously lots of technology and computers, and how do you get this out? How do you reach your clients?
A lot of it has been referrals. I had been in the human resource arena for a long time, and so a lot of it just started once people know that you're out there and you can just come on site when you need us. And I think that's the beauty of what we can provide is they'll call us when they have a problem, and then we mentor those on-site people so that they grow and learn that knowledge as well. So the companies that we work with a lot are smaller facilities that don't have a corporate resource. There's nobody they can pick up and call and say, here's my issue, I don't know what to do with this. And so that's what they use us for. And then we can provide them with these extra online tools as well.
In any small business?
Any small business. Okay. It can be two people. It can be our largest clients are over 1,000 employees. But where I usually see people starting to struggle is when they get to that 8 to 10 employee, some small business that they love to run computers, and they start to have 8 to 10 employees, and they start having, well, you know, this one has a maternity leave question. This one has a chronic disability. How do I manage this? They don't know. And so that's when they start to call.
And manage time off, and it's all of that.
Exactly.
And is there a one-stop shop? I don't want to call it cookie cutter, but that's kind of what I'm thinking of here, is that every small business needs the same model, or are there different models given their philosophy and their...
It depends on the industry,
mm-hmm.
and it also depends on which state they're in because of the laws, and then it depends on the corporate culture. Is it more female? Is it more male? Is it a mixture? Are there language barriers? So it really depends. Every company has similar issues that they may have over time, but they're all very unique.
And is this a unique business?
It is.
Are there others? Sometimes I hear these things and I think, well, sure, this should be out there.
It isn't? Similar. There's some firms in the state and surrounding areas. We're a little bit different in that we're providing the tools and teaching them how to use them. You can find the tools out on the internet or through insurance companies, but what they don't tell you is, okay, this is how you manage this situation with these two people. And so the personalities of the people is what it makes it real complex and a little bit different. So we can do that. We can do online short-term interim HR support where we just come in, we're there until we fill the position, and then we're gone. We have some retained groups where they just keep us around all the time, and they call us when they need us, and then we're not there when they don't need us. And then there may be some situations where we have they want to do some cost savings or enhance or engage their workforce, and they bring us in for that as well. So we're more of a full, broader spectrum.
And this is open across the country?
Across the country.
Well, and
yep.
So you'll travel?
We travel.
Okay. And do you have other employees, or is it just the two of you?
Well, we're small, but we have independent contractors we bring in when we need them. But we're in that launch where we're going to grow.
Okay. And so then these businesses pay you according to the services they want from you?
Correct.
So it's not a long-term retainer, or
it
could be if they wanted to?
Yep. It depends. It just depends. And since we're locally owned, we have the opportunity of looking at nonprofits a little bit differently than for-profits, and we price accordingly.
Okay. And you're ready, you're launched, are you ready to launch?
No, we launched, we actually have been around for a few years, and what we're doing now is launching into a new phase. So that's why we've been involved with this program, because we're introducing the technology and taking it to the next level.
So you're actually writing your own technology, or you're...
We're using outside services, but we've written the content.
Okay. And so is the webpage going to be something different and unique?
Yep. The webpage will be there for maybe some of those clients who are outside of the Sioux Falls. Maybe they're in another state, maybe down in Oklahoma. It will be a way for them to get the resources that they need, as well as us, through maybe an online chat system, that we can be there virtually and they can get what they need as far as some of the products, as far as forms and things that they will utilize within their company or their organization.
And did you utilize the boot camp here, this accelerator process, to just focus and get it done, or have you learned and met new people and resources?
Because this is a little different line that we weren't familiar with, this has been very beneficial to meet some of the other experts in the community, plus learning from other entrepreneurs what they really do need. And so it's been very helpful using this group as, what do you need as you grow your business as far as people management goes?
All right. Well, we are out of time, and I want to thank both of you for taking the time and coming on the program. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue meeting entrepreneurs as we broadcast from the Technology Business Center here in Sioux Falls. You're listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland. We're at the Technology Business Center in Sioux Falls, and it is the Accelerator Bootcamp program here, and we're meeting entrepreneurs throughout the day. We have five more to go, and we'll start next with LaVon McKee. McKee?
Correct.
And you're with Credentialing USA.
Yes.
Tell me what that is.
Credentialing USA is a company that has created a way for the doctors to digitally take their credentials with them no matter where they are in the nation. And it provides continual CME recordings with a summary for current physicians and a one-time download or a one-time setup fee for all the doctors.
And how did you come up with this?
I currently graduated from National American University, and since I'm currently a credentialist, I was able to take a class at NAU for my internship where they implement new software and medical equipment. And so it gave me a lot of guidelines on what they needed to use to create something like this. It has to be cost effective. It has to be easy to manage. And when I was a credentialist, it gave me opportunities to talk to doctors directly to see what the need was out there, and it gave me this idea.
Okay, so explain the process. Before your company, explain what doctors had to do and what the problem was.
Currently, doctors receive all their credentials, their MDs, their diplomas, their certificates, and everything in paper format. Mm-hmm. And when they go to get credentialed at a clinic or hospital, then they have to scan all their paperwork every time they want to get or make copies and hand in those paper formats. Whereas my digital database, they will be able to give them a password and digitally download it. So we are also a green company. We are saving paper.
Okay, so you're just kind of storing their credentials.
Yes.
Right? So then if they move from a facility to another facility, then they have them with them.
Correct.
And how often does a physician have to renew or reapply for credentials? Does it keep track of that?
Yes, it does. One of the perks of my program is those doctors that are existing out there, it will give them a 1 month, a 2 week, and a 2 day reminder of any medical licensure that they have to renew either annually or biannually, or every 2 years. And it will also keep track of when their reappointments are needed to be done.
And what do they have to do? I mean, what's the process to do that? Just fill out more paperwork or?
Lots of paperwork.
Really?
Usually the initial application paperwork after you have all their copies in there are about 50 pages per application. And then if you go, and then there's the hospitals, there's the payers or the insurance companies, plus there's also their medical state licensures and their drug applications for their drug license.
So these are things that physicians would just have to keep track of themselves?
Yes, or there may be a person in an office, like where I work or am currently working. They usually have a credentialing specialist at a larger facility. Hmm. And the smaller facilities, they usually have an administrator that would keep track of this for them.
Okay. And so you're a credentialist, and now you're taking this and you're launching this. So you plan on leaving your current?
Yes, I am. Currently, I'm working at Physicians Laboratory. They have been wonderful to me. It's been a great stepping stone. I have nothing bad to say of them. And my last day with them is August 25th.
And you're ready to launch then?
Right now we are currently working on the platform.
Okay.
But there's so much footwork for me to be done. I can't do everything. So I gave my 2 week notice and I'm going to be ready to launch in October.
Okay. And so are you a little nervous about that?
I'm a little bit of everything. Nervous, excited, and it is. It's a great time to grow. I'm very excited about growing as a person and just start a company, and I see a need out there. I want to, along with all this, I want to help educate those new doctors out there that are going, that are ready to step into the working world, and they have no idea what they're up to when it comes to the paperwork of the credentialing. I really want to reach out to the new students or the new doctors.
Okay. And so, I mean, are you getting good feedback? People are interested? People want to see this happen?
Yes, I am. In fact, I was surprised. I was really focusing on the digital data bank storage for the doctors, and I'm seeing that there's as much of a need as for those really small facilities that don't have the funds to hire a credentialist. I'm finding there is a great need for that too, so I have to get some more numbers together so I can get that part of my business going as well.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time, LaVonne, and coming on the program, and we wish you luck.
Thank you very much for your
All
time.
Right. Thank you. And now we're going to hear from Ed Mandy.
Yep, right.
And Andrew Pavick.
Yep.
Welcome to Innovation. Thanks for being here. Tell me your company.
We're 7400 Circuits, and actually we're kind of doing two things. We make unique electronic gadgets, and we're also offering services for other people that want to do similar things. And right now the unique electronic gadgets that we're focusing on are in the realm of retro video game, handheld kind of video game console stuff.
Retro.
Retro being like...
Sorry, you're taking me back to my childhood right now.
Maybe in the late 90s, early 2000s. So okay. Like systems that came out then, there's people that were really interested in that kind of stuff at that time. Mm-hmm. Now they're older professionals, they have money.
Oh, and now they want their old games back?
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking to a girl who played Pong, so...
We don't make anything from Pong yet, but...
I'm kidding. Okay, so circuit boards, custom circuit boards. That's really what you're talking about here.
Yeah, for the services part, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. And so the need is what? I mean, you discovered this, that there is a need. How? Take me back to how you created this.
That part is a little bit more for, let's say, people that are kind of delving into their own things, but they want to turn that into a product now. So, like, the big thing now is Arduino, which is a platform that is for like hobbyists that want to create some kind of gadget. Mm-hmm. But it's really kind of general purpose platform, and now all of a sudden people are seeing that they want to take that and turn it into a product. You know, they made something unique and now, you know, it's catching on or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just in a niche, it might be catching on inside of that niche, and then a bunch of people come and say, "Oh, I want one of those." But it's really hard to make that general purpose platform into a product for a bunch of people.
Okay, so then you help by doing the circuit board part of it and giving it to them to put in it, right? Because making your own circuit board isn't always...
Andrew can probably talk to
you. Okay, Andrew, help me out here.
All right, so we essentially can take the concepts of this Arduino platform or whatever platform they're working with and redesign it in a way that makes it more... customizable to their needs and also save them cost. Whereas, you know, they could go in and buy this unit off the shelf, cost them, you know, $15 as a one piece unit, and we can redesign it and maybe cut their cost in half just by, you know, because they don't need half of what that system may provide. And,
And also that we found, you know, $15 doesn't seem like a big deal, but when you're making thousands and thousands, that can add up really quickly. But the other thing is, if you're taking a general purpose platform, you're talking about connecting it with another platform. So there's costs with just the connectors or the time it takes for people to wire it up. Where if you could have one circuit board that does the whole thing, then it's, you know, you're saving the cost on the front end, but also on the cost of, you know, like hooking little pieces up to it and stuff.
Okay, so my engineer is nodding. It's a good idea, Steve. It's a good idea. Okay, it's still a little...
I see Steve over here with the Nintendo DS stylus.
There you go. So where are you based out of?
Rapid City.
Rapid City. And where are you in your launch part of it?
I would say we're pretty early on, but we've had some, I've actually, before I teamed up with Andrew, I had a retro gaming product for quite a while, and that's been going really well, but it's not something that's right now, it's really scalable, so it's kind of time intensive to produce, and so that's where some of these things that we've been talking about consolidating, you know, scaling it in a way that it's easier to produce, it doesn't take as much tinkering and hooking it up and all that kind of stuff. So we're doing that with our internal products, and that's why we realize that there's a market out for other people that need to do that too.
So you're helping him cut his costs,
right? Yeah, essentially. That's actually how it kind of started. Is he kind of came to me and said, hey, you know, I need a redesign of one of his products and then some soldering. And so teamed up on a small project and ended up taking off.
Okay. And so ultimately, we're going to see what out of your company? Because you kind of talk about two different things, helping others and making gadgets.
So I think ultimately we really would like to focus on our own products, but we see that that's an opportunity for other people that need similar things. So we're trying to be open to that. And also that's a little bit more straightforward as far as, you know, then we're not involved in the sales with it. We're just offering a service. So we're kind of using that to bootstrap to get some money up front. So then we can ultimately focus on our own products.
Okay. Okay. And so you're kind of new in the launch. Tell me what you've taken away from being a part of this accelerator bootcamp.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just the whole process has been really interesting just to see all the things, like all the things we didn't know that we didn't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the biggest thing, just because Pam has brought in all these different speakers and, you know, it's a lot of it is stuff that, you know, on the face of it, it's like, well, we don't need to know that right now, but we know we're going to need, you know, that advice, the marketing advice, you know, mm-hmm. a couple months from now, or, you know, law advice, legal advice that, you know, we're not in that position now, but we hope to be in that position because at some point we're going to be making money and we want to, you know, do mm-hmm. things like protect our intellectual property and different things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're still early in the stages, ready to go. And taking this forward, do you think a year from now?
So
6 months from now?
I guess backing up a little bit, we have the current product that I had been making kind of on a hobby level now. And mm-hmm. so we're ramping that up, but at the same time, that is a little cartridge for an old platform called the Neo Geo Pocket Color. And then now we're working on another kind of niche product for a handheld game system called the Wonder Swan. And we're targeting those because we know that there's no other product like ours in the market right now. And we want to use those as kind of test platforms. And, you know, and we know there's a market for it. We know we've done some, you know, surveys for people online, and there's definitely people that have been waiting for this product. So we're in the middle of that. We have, a product, and we have a prototype of our second product already. Okay. And what we want to do is kind of build this library of, you know, handheld gaming products.
Mostly online sales or?
Yeah, pretty much all online.
All online.
Yeah. Because, all right. Because it's we believe it's a big enough niche, but not a big enough niche in, say, Rapid City or Sioux Falls, or, you know, it's a global niche. And a lot of people are like in Australia, Europe, Japan that are interested in these things.
And so it's not necessarily bringing back old games. It's letting you use your old games
right.
with current technology.
Yeah.
Did I summarize that right?
Yeah, that's great. I think so.
I got it. I got it all figured out. So, all right, Ed and Andrew, thank you for taking time and coming on Innovation today. Really
all right, thank
appreciate
you.
It. Best of luck to you. And when we come back, we'll continue from the Technology Business Center in Sioux Falls. You're listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. And welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland. We're broadcasting from the Technology Business Center in Sioux Falls, and we're continuing with our Accelerator Bootcamp program here. And joining me is Amy Colgan. She is with a business called Picky.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Welcome. Tell me what Picky is.
Sure. So Picky is a photo-based social polling app that provides timely feedback from your trusted contacts that you know, that you've established within the app. So a little bit of comparison, it's kind of like a little bit of Snapchat meets a voting system that's time sensitive.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
And why do I need this?
Well, I think as just people in general, we like to ask other people's opinions. We're people that like to put content out there for other people to give us feedback on. That's why, you know, photo apps are so popular right now, is because you post an image and you want approval or comments or likes, or you update a status because you want somebody to give you some sort of feedback. So I think that's just kind of a culture that we have right now. But also, I think from the consumer standpoint, it's very helpful for like point of, you know, very time sensitive decisions, just getting quantitative feedback. It can be used in a variety of uses. The idea actually came up when I was shopping one day, because a lot of times, you know, you'll be shopping and you'll send multiple photos to your friends. You know, I used to live in a kind of apartment with 12 other girls, and we always did like everything together with our shopping and everything like that. And I think people just send a lot of, they're always asking for feedback. So,
so this dress or this dress?
Yeah. You know, like this dress or that dress, or, you know, you're hosting a game night, you know, what kind of wine should I buy? Or, you know, somebody asked you to go pick up something from the supermarket and they remembered it was the green packaging, you know, oh, well, there's two kinds of green packaging, this one or this one. Or, you know, maybe there's somebody's ring shopping and they want to get the mother-in-law's opinion and the three best friends. And I think we're always just asking for feedback in different ways, but adding a photo to it and using just a really simple application process to that to get quantitative feedback is kind of the essence of the app.
Okay, so it's not like taking political polling with pictures.
No, no. It's, you know, it could
it's personal polling.
Basically, it's, you know, you can upload or take two photos within the app, and you just set it up and you send it out to your contacts, and you can set a time limit on it, whether, you know, maybe it's a store purchase and you're only going to be there for 15 minutes. You can set the timer for 15 minutes and the poll will go away, so you're not spamming friends with questions that you don't really need feedback on anymore. Or maybe it's something that you're going to do in a couple of days, so you can set it for, you know, 72 hours. And you send it out to these contacts. They respond with just touching the photo, one or the other. And then it'll aggregate those answers for you. So once everybody's responded or the time runs out, it'll show you which photo essentially is the winner.
And so you, what if you don't agree?
Well, that's the greatness. It's the nice part of the app. It's one or the other. You have to choose.
Right. Okay.
And I think the brain function between making one or the other process, once you add multiple choices in, it makes decision making much harder. So when you're just shown two options, mm-hmm. It makes the decision process much easier to give feedback on. And so basically we want to create something very simple, easy to use, and can be used across a variety of platforms.
Okay, so this is a phone app?
Yes, we're going to start with iOS.
Okay.
With iPhone.
Okay, and how far are you into developing this app?
We're still in the development phase, probably about 70% completed. Some last hurdles are, you know, establishing kind of the security factor of it, making sure that it's private and, you know, you're not getting spammed from random people. So establishing secure connections within the app, that's kind of the last roadblock that we have with it right now. So,
and is this an app that's free or
it'll be free? Yep. Free to download. And eventually we'd like to see it scale to the point where some of these other larger social apps where you could, you know, incorporate maybe some geolocated, sponsorships. It syncs to your Facebook, so, you know, brands could pay to send pickies out to, you know, their fans asking for, you know, feedback on maybe some new products that they're launching. Or, you know, JL Beers is a restaurant downtown in Sioux Falls, and, you know, they tap new beers on a regular basis and they send text messages out. Well, what if they actually ask, you know, the people that like them on Facebook, you know, which beer would you rather see tap tonight? And, you know, you could even, you know, down the road, eventually we'd like to be able to offer promotions and things like that. So, you know, you answer this picky and you come in and your picky first drink's free, or, you know, maybe a cupcake shop, you know, what do you want to see the new flavor of the month? you know, strawberry shortcake or blueberry, sure. You know, so giving quantitative feedback, it's, you know, it's fun to use between friends, but also I think businesses would really like to be able to, you know, connect with consumers on that level, because it's a conversation that you're not really getting with Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you know, any of those mm-hmm. other social channels that mm-hmm. offer something new. So that's where we'd like to, what we would like eventually to do with the app.
Okay. And you're based here in Sioux Falls?
Yes.
Or? Okay.
Yep.
Well, Amy, I want to thank you. We have just 10 minutes left and we have two more businesses to get to. So I want to thank you very much for taking time and coming on Innovation. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we're going to hear about a business named SPACT.
Yes.
Did I say that right? SPACT.
That's right. That's correct.
Okay. And it's Jeevan?
Jeevan.
Jeevan. And Aravind.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Tell me about SPACT.
First of all, thanks for having us here.
I was wondering if I'm looking good on the radio.
That's the best part about radio.
Yeah. So this PACT is a Center for Security Printing and Anti-Counterfeiting Technologies.
Okay.
So we are developing this next generation security printing inks to protect important documents.
Okay.
Luxury goods, electronics, chips, and stuff like that.
Okay, so this is the ink.
This is the ink we are working with.
Okay, and how is this special?
Because it's the just a well-established model. Like you print this ink, it's invisible. But then when you hit it with a particular laser, in this case, it's an infrared laser, this ink shows up in visible color. But the technology we are using is it's totally different. It's brand new, and it's nanotechnology. So we are dealing with the nanoparticles here. So this technique is like it's been out there for a while. Like when you have a dollar bill, if you want to authenticate it, you write it with some ink and see if it glows under the black light. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, but a new technology, so a new approach. So which makes it pretty difficult for the counterfeiters to replicate it.
So you're talking this for currency or?
It can be used on literally any substrate. And it is pretty hard to replicate because there are so many parameters that go into this technology that we can tweak and, you know, make it custom made for us. Like if a particular brand is using this, I mean, if somebody replicates it, or we can do some analysis and say, that's not our stuff.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's for brand protection. And
the need is for any application?
Oh, any business, application. Any... Counterfeiting is pretty big and it's growing pretty fast. It's one of the top 5 fastest growing businesses in the world. And it's the most profitable, and it's 7% of the world's goods in any case is counterfeits.
Okay, so it's not just currency, though. Give me an example of another document it might be used on.
Oh, yeah. The silicon chips is a good example because there is very possibility of counterfeiting them. Mm-hmm. And the issues is like you lose a lot of money because of the fraudulent silicon chips. They end up with the machinery, which is like, it won't work if we have wrong silicon chips out there. So the technology we are using, it can pass through the silicon chips and it can read beneath if any printing we provide there.
Okay. So we're not just talking paper through a printer.
Some of these chips, like even though they're old and somebody throws their computer away, some people will take them. People are doing this. Like they take the chips out and just scrape the painting on top of it, put a new painting and sell them as a new chips. So if you print this, you know, our a QR code or some kind of code printed with our ink inside this coating.
Okay.
And they can't get to it unless they scratch out the circuits on top of it.
Okay.
So they have to destroy the
circuit. Yeah, then destroy it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you're saying you're using nanoparticles.
Yes.
Right. Explain that.
These nanoparticles, when I say nano, it's 10⁻⁹ meters. So if you take simply saying, if you say take 1 meter, it's the size of, if you take a nanoparticle the size of football, 1 meter would be this Earth. So that small, these nanoparticles, when you get to that size, any material exhibits a different properties. You're talking about some alien material because we have all these materials in the periodic table that they have set parameters and they do this. Like if you talk about silver or steel, that would melt at 1300 degrees centigrade. Mm-hmm. If you talk about steel nanoparticle, it would melt at 200 degrees centigrade. So it's totally different when compared to the bulk. It exhibits a different color. It acts differently.
Okay. So then you have total confirmation. This is
right.
Okay, and you're ready to launch. You've already launched. Where are you at with your business?
Ours is not a business; it's a center. So we're developing these security printing applications with not just with these upconverting nanoparticles. We're working with the silver nanoparticles as well, and making some optically variable patterns. So it's like on dollar bill, you print and look at it in one direction, it glows, and another direction, it just. Yeah, it doesn't glow. So something like that. So we're working on a lot of these security printing applications, and we are trying to establish a relationship with a business and commercialize our products and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time and coming on Innovation and talking about this. Good
thank
luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We will be in touch. And Greg?
Yes.
Welcome, AMI. Greg Birch, is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Welcome to Innovation. Tell me what AMI is.
Well, AMI stands for Antimicrobial Materials Incorporated, and we manufacture materials that actively kill germs, and also remain germ-free in between washings and cleanings.
Okay.
The company really is founded on a technology that's able to store the disinfecting power of bleach onto the surface, and really came out of some research done at the University of South Dakota in the biomedical engineering department that's been going on since probably 2009.
Okay, so this is a university-based research company, is that right?
Right.
Is that
right? Yep, that's right.
Okay, and so this is for hospital bedding, hospital gown kind of things, for the textile stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great application.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a lot of ways that germs impact our daily lives, and so there's industries such as daycares, you know, are a great place that we can
there's lots of germs there, isn't there?
That's what I've heard, yeah. Also, food processing is another great application for us, obviously, and they deal with controlling contamination on a daily basis and spend a lot of money doing that.
Okay, so this is a spray? This is a something that you add to water? This is what? This is...
The base technology is a treatment that we can apply either to a surface.
Okay.
For example, you mentioned linens and textiles. We can treat those surfaces. We can also treat small particles. The gentleman from SPAC did a good job of explaining what nanoparticles are.
Right.
That's something that we also get involved in. So we can treat these nanoparticles and incorporate them into the entire matrix of a rubber or a plastic or some of those other kinds of compounds, where, you know, the advantage of doing a nanoparticle might be in the case where you've got something that wears over time and you're worried about wearing that surface off, we can make the entire thickness of the material antimicrobial.
So you do, it's a one-time treatment, it's a, or is it a daily treatment? I mean... This is in the creation of the countertop instead of wiping it down every day. Is that a good way of looking at it or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can impart the chemistry into the material by doing a one-time treatment.
Okay.
The way the process works is that you would bond molecularly this capability to store the chlorine treatment. Or absorb the chlorine into the surface and do that once, as I said. And then over time, as it's exposed to more and more microbes, the chlorine is expelled, but then it can be recharged by just a simple washing with the dilute bleach solution.
Okay. And you're where at in the process of launching?
We're at a very early stage.
Okay.
We've gotten some collaborations going now with some, I guess, commercial partners, you would call them. We don't have a product that we're ready to launch yet, but we're working in a couple directions. One is, as I said, with some of the commercial partnerships, but we're also working with some of the federal agencies like National Institutes of Health and the USDA to try to forward some of the base technology and get funding from them.
Okay, to continue researching, to continue developing, continue, okay.
Continued research, and also there's programs available to help with the commercialization process, and so we're very interested in those.
Okay, so you're not commercialized yet, you're still developing the technology.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and still based at USD? Is that where you're at, or where are you?
Yeah, we're working out of the Gear Center, which is up the North Potter Town,
and
still working closely with the biomedical engineering department there.
Okay, and student involvement as well, or no?
Yeah, we've got some interns that are working on the projects with us.
Okay,
so there's both a student aspect and a commercialization aspect.
Okay. Well, Greg, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Innovation Today, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll continue to follow this as you grow your business.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being here. Well, that's it for Innovation. We moved through seven entrepreneurs in a very short amount of time. This show will be online later this afternoon. I want to thank the great staff here at the Technology Business Center, Rich Naser and Pam Bohm, for their assistance in setting up the program. Special thanks always to Steve Munson, my engineer and right-hand man. And special thanks to Owen DeYoung and Steve Zwemke, Chris Loffrey, Jackie Hendry back in Vermilion. Thanks so much. That's it for Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland. Have a great weekend.